Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Kenny Curtis on your Saturday. 48 days, Curtis, until the statue is unveiled. August 8th, Friday, Brady. Only 12 feet. I know you were calling for like 50. You wanted a huge statue. As Fitzy described it yesterday, bigger than the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio. You wanted the huge Brady monolith coming into the stadium.
Right.
You're not getting that. 12 feet.
Wow.
It's kind of small.
I wonder how they came up with 12.
I don't know. They released the information on 6/12 that this was happening. I know you were a little conflicted by it. So before we get back to the calls, including our buddy Danny from Quincy, who wants a piece of you yet again today, what is your problem with the Patriots statue plan for the Friday before the first preseason game on August 8th?
Well, when I first heard it, it felt Mickey Mouse that you're once again trying to use Tom Brady to get more people at your lone preseason game, which are already a racket when it comes to the NFL and the way they gouge their fans. It just felt beneath the moment, like before a Washington Commanders game on August 8th, you're celebrating the greatest player in the history of Boston sports. But I heard a couple interesting nuggets. And the thing that I have in terms of whatever today is, June 21st, 2025, Brady and the Patriots are not that lovey-dovey.
Well, that's pretty clear, right?
I guess even more distant than I had fully understood. And the organization, from what I understand, presented some dates that would have been best, and most of all, actually all were regular season games that would not conflict with the Fox duties of Tom Brady, because Tom doesn't even have to do, he can't do the Thursday, Friday on-site visits because he's an employee and part owner of the Raiders.
Right.
So, like, the Patriots have a Thursday night game, then they have a Monday night game against the Giants in, like, November or something like that. And the date that they could agree upon was August 8th. And that had much more to do with the quarterback than it did Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft has wanted to honor Tom Brady with the statue the second he got it ready. Like, he's been ready to go and presenting it.
They were hoping for a Fox game and never got it.
Right. And this year the Fox games will almost certainly not. They were all but assured, from what I understand, that week two against the Seahawks last year was going to be a Brady game. And then it didn't happen. So that, I think, was where they were initially going to do it when he came back his first game as a broadcaster. But obviously that never happened, so that's where we land on August 8th.
Do we know the timing yet on August 8th?
I do not.
It's got to be probably afternoon, I'm sure.
It'll definitely be pregame, like halftime or something.
Oh, so the game is that Friday night?
August 8th.
That's the same night as the game. Okay, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking of it.
I believe so.
No, I think you're right. Okay, so before the game, pregame, but it'll be outside the Hall of Fame area, is what they have said.
Okay, I don't know any further details about the location.
I just wonder how they do that in terms of the fans coming for the game, because that's that little cauldron area there. It's going to be tough to pack everybody in. It might be kind of cool. I don't know. To your point, though, you just wonder if it will live up to the moment.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm able to share this, but you know what I always say, like our friend Jerry, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Right.
The Belichick statue is going to be him drafting Cole Strange.
Hey, Cole Strange is part of the mix this year. I just watched, by the way, the Patriots put out on their Twitter account, Drake keeping up the energy, 3 minutes mic'd up with Drake May.
I saw it Al, was good. Our good buddy Al from Everett, who's the Al's sandwich shop, was at Bernie's yesterday.
Yep.
And every time he sees me, we just laugh about Bill. It's like no words are spoken. We just laugh at the demise.
Well, perfect segue to our buddy Danny. I'm sure. Danny, will you be there for the Brady statue on August 8th?
Yeah, I'm not getting into the statue. I'm barricaded in my little summer shack here in Buzzard's Base because my neighbors will start hearing me screaming first of all, I'm in depression because yesterday, for most people, it's the first day of summer, but it's the first day of winter. The sun starts getting lower in the sky after 10:42 p.m. last night. So
that is a depressing way to look at life. Jeez.
It is. Well, you got to be prepared because I like it when the sun gets earlier in the morning and later at night simultaneously. Now it's going to go the other way. 5:08 sunrise on Monday. That we lose a minute on Monday, and then it, It'll stay 825 for another week, and that'll be it on the Sunset.
Danny, I am shocked a man with as sunny of a disposition as you have that you would be feeling this way.
I've always been that way. My friends know me, said Danny's first day of winter is on the summer solstice because it goes the other way. I like it on the uptick, not on the downside. You know what I mean?
So, anticipation is always better than the thing.
Well, I got to tell you something, Danny. Yeah. Tomorrow, you're going to be a little older than you are today.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, in another minute, I'll be older. Maybe I'll be dead after this phone call, but who knows? You know?
What the hell's happened?
Danny, are you all right? It's a beautiful day.
Be realistic, brother. Be realistic, Ken. You know? Okay. So, Curtis, please do me a favor. Stop calling Dev as a superstar. He's not a superstar. And stop comparing him to Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez, 12 out of 14 years, had triple-digit RBIs. Okay? 1 year, I think in 2002, he had 349. He had a 450 on-base percentage, over 1,000 OPS.
Right.
The guy did it every single year. He could hit the off-field.
And Brian McNamee was his best friend.
Look for average. Forget about the off. He was a headache. I know he was.
No, I'm not talking about a headache. I'm talking about a
couple failed tests.
Yeah, a little issue with the old performance enhancer.
Everybody
knows that. We know the history, Curtis. But we're talking about comparison to Devers as a hitter. Devers, look at his numbers, 278, 28 home runs, and 83 RBIs. And it's, okay, batted, what is his scoring position? Two outs last year, 207, okay?
Well, he had a big home run to put him in the playoffs in 2021 in D.C. He is a five-time All-Star.
He has his moments, Ken.
How old is Devers?
He has his moments.
28.
And by the way, I've been calling your show since April saying they should trade Devers. So you're giving credit to the grimy, shiny guy saying he wanted to trade it?
Okay,
nobody wanted him traded. I called it three freaking times, Ken, and said they should trade the guy.
Okay, I agree.
And you told me no, and I sent you a text that I know you read it, and you don't respond to the text. Because
your texts are very long. I'm very busy this role.
I know that. I said that. I said, I know you're going to be pissed off because I know that the modern age is supposed to have four words in a text, not 2,500. I know that. I know that, Ken.
Okay.
But yeah, I know. But I have to get my point across.
Yeah.
I've been saying it since April, and they got their money back. This was a great deal for them.
Danny, I have a question. For the love of God, take a breath. Danny,
yes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why
do
you give two flying Fs about the money coming back? You're in a shed in Buzzards Bay. John Henry took a dump in a room 10 times bigger 20 minutes ago, and he's using your money to wipe his ass. Why do you care about the money coming back to the Red Sox?
It's the gravy. It's they got rid of the poison pill. Right?
He's making every dollar.
And they got their money back. From a business standpoint, it was great. Now, and then they got four guys to return. And everybody says they suck. I don't know if they're going to be good. Who knows? But, you know, I'm hearing good and bad from people. But listen.
So on Sunday night, Danny, when you're enjoying a day.
Go ahead.
You want story traded next.
So on Sunday. When the Red Sox just completed the sweep of the Yankees, you said, you know what, they got to get rid of that guy that hit that insurance run homer. We got to get – this team is falling off a cliff. We need to trade Devers right now. Is that what you said?
I've been saying, Curtis, I was on
I'm asking
the show.
About that Sunday follow-along,
Danny. The guy is he's a poison pill.
And he Manny wasn't a poison pill.
He was, but he was 10 times the hitter.
I mean, now you're just 10 times the hitter. I mean, I'm just
– World Series MVP. When Devers does that, get back to me.
Okay, well he was 30. He was 33.
Right. And say,
Devers is 28. Danny. Devers is 28. Manny was 33 when he won World Series MVP. Devers has not even entered or is barely in the beginning of his prime.
We agree. But you're already putting him there.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, what was the rush? You finally figured it out. You swept the Yankees. He's hitting. You are not a better team, and I don't give a damn about how much money they're getting back.
It's not the money.
You cited it the first thing you said. You said they got the money back. What a deal. That's what you just said.
Okay, it's a byproduct. It's the gravy. Whenever I buy or invest in a big ticket item, the first thing I think of is, if I have to turn around and sell it, can I get my money back? How much can I get back for the investment? And they did. And I'm not saying that's the priority. They got rid of the poison. That guy was a poison pill.
Well, you not they're really good. They have a poison pill and they're able to sweep the Yankees. It's amazing. I don't know how they did it.
Okay. Well, they're going to win 8 in a row. We get right back in the race.
Right,
and I'm telling you right now, I love Pedro Curtis, but he could never beat the Yankees. And it pains me to say it, but he couldn't get over the hump with the Yankees. That lineup had his number.
You take Ortiz over Pedro, Danny?
Well, he beat Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill in Game 3 of the 99 LCS.
They got him more than he got them in the past.
Well, you just said he's never beaten them, and then he was a part of the team that won 04.
Why, he wore them down. And he said, they were my, who's your daddy, whatever, they were my daddies, or whatever. So, I mean, and I used to, trust me, it was painful for me to say it. Okay? Ortiz was the Yankee killer.
Who's a better player in the history of baseball?
What? Then who?
Pedro or Ortiz. Who's a better player in the history of baseball?
Well, you can't compare a pitcher to a
I'm just asking your opinion, Danny.
Hitter,
it's a talk show.
As far as clutch goes?
No. I said, who is a better player?
Ortiz.
Danny, who is a better player in the history of the sport?
One's a pitcher, and one's a hitter.
Okay,
they're not comparable.
Can you answer the question, or you want to just punt on it because you're a child?
I gave you the apples to apples with Devers and Manny.
I'm asking you a question. Pedro Martinez is one of the handful of best pitchers to ever pitch in Major League Baseball.
I agree. We don't have an argument there.
So that he's better than DH. What are we even talking about?
Oh my God!
Goodbye, Danny. See you later.
I'll text you back later. I'm going to look up the Jay Jaffe Jaws score for Ortiz and Pedro while Jacob trends and compare those two, because he puts a number on both. I mean, you would admit Manny's a better player than Devers. That's not close.
This is why nobody is able to use logic and reasoning, and why people just run up to me and say, thank God you're the voice of reason. The organization, it's not apples to apples. Obviously, Manny in his career as a Red Sox is the best hitter, arguably, in the history of the franchise. But the quote-unquote poison was there, and it may have even been more pervasive when Manny was playing. Certainly the media criticism was far greater than it is now in Devers, right? I mean, not even in the same stratosphere, 03, 04 Sox.
Pedro's got Ortiz beat 71-43 in Jaws, 45 in Jaws. Jay Jaffe war score for Hall of Famers.
It's not even in this. I mean, it's an idiotic thing that anybody that can't answer it. But
Pedro, 12th greatest pitcher of all time.
Yeah, I mean, in my money, the best pitcher I've ever seen, best Boston athlete I've ever seen, better than Brady at his best. But the Red Sox won two World Series with Manny being Manny. The idiots, the morons, the Damons of the world won a World Series. And you had just gotten to this point where you sweep the Yankees, and the second a team said, we'll take the full salary, you said, screw this year, let's get our money back.
Here's Jacob with what's trending. What are your thoughts on the Devers fallout, the Sox streaking without him, Danny's point, if you would like to go there, and the statue?
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all here today. Well, Fleming on the call across the network last night. 7-5 win. Comeback win. Down 3-0. Not a great start for Hunter Dobbins. No problem. No Devers, Curtis. And they put together 7 runs. David Hamilton, a 2-run Johnson. Rafaela, a big night. Interesting night. Very interesting night.
Back, did you ever see Hamilton?
I never have.
I saw it on, it was during, remember the pandemic? Broadway. They had the Broadway on Apple TV or something.
Oh, you saw the TV
version. Awful.
That doesn't count.
I live near East Broadway. I'll never go to Broadway.
But Hamilton had a bad error in the first. He had to atone for that. Needed
right.
The atonement.
Came up big.
He came up big. We'll continue this series this weekend. Are you like, I know you're out.
You know the coldest winter I ever had was the summer in San Francisco?
This week shook your faith as a Red Sox follower. I know that.
No, it just rekindled my disdain for the front office and the ownership.
Let's say they surge here. Are you like captivated? Are you in? Can you overcome this?
I hate to break it to them. It's good news for me if they're good. I mean, this place, we want the Red Sox to be good at WEEI. It's good for business.
I just mean personally.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't really. No, I hope they're
not. Can they win you back?
If they reallocate those resources now, yes.
Would like a Bregman contract?
No, that's definitely. But it's trading and acquiring high impact, expensive pieces that help you win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Trade at the deadline or off-season big
this year, deadline. This season, they have to allocate those resources because everybody down there said the time for waiting is over. There's a new vibe. Good vibes in Fort Myers. Everybody said we had the Cohiba, we had Henry, we had the return of the Sox. And now, you know, Tom Warner's gallivanting with the Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh.
Trade deadline. Josh Naylor, Ryan O'Hearn. Jake Berger, Reese Hoskins. Those are your first basemen.
Well, Greg's definitely wants Berger.
Let's see if Texas is selling first.
Yeah. I mean, we can't. Ron Washington's doing a great job.
I don't want to rush it. We have a month. It's July 31st. But right. Summer starts, even though Danny's not happy.
I'll be out most of July, so.
What do you make of the week? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Maine and talk to Ryan here on the morning show, known as Kenny Curtis. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Long-time listener of the show and first time on the air with you guys, so happy Saturday.
Thanks,
same to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
My feelings are the previous caller's rant was epic. Good job for hanging on for that one. But I think the problem with Manny, or when Manny was there, and yeah, he might have been a cancer, but we had Theo and we had Tito. And right now we have Craig and we have Cora, and I just don't think they could handle Devers. And I think that's where it went wrong, and there was no wrapping it around and making the player sit in his place and be a player and not be the you know, diva that he was. And he just had to go.
Okay, I hear you.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Social media is great. It's like, usually this is politically, you know, like, hey, you said the opposite, you know, about Iran or whatever. But much more important, baseball. June 2nd. Boston Red Sox should just leave DH Devers alone and let him decide if he wants to play first base. Hall of Famer David Ortiz told the Associated Press.
Well, he had a change of heart.
Does anybody bring that up when they talk about it?
But he didn't text David back, so that's personal.
I'm going to read it again. The Boston Red Sox should let designated hitter Rafael Devers alone, leave him alone, and let him decide if he wants to start playing first base. Hall of Famer David Ortiz told the Associated Press on Monday, not Monday 2010.
Right, but he was informed afterwards that he was a bad guy.
June 2nd, 2025. He made those comments this week.
Things happened in
less
the last couple
than weeks. 3 weeks after.
What if you got new information?
The information
new,
was say
new
this.
Insight on
dance
the clubhouse.
For me, clown. Go out there and make an ass of yourself.
You don't know that. Texter 774. Pedro, not the best pitcher of all time. Ortiz is the best DH of all time.
Right. I was the best manager in BC basketball history. Troy Bell was the best player.
Well, DH is not insignificant. But how about this? I went deep dive into Jay Jaffe, like write-ups on Pedro. On a per-inning basis, no pitcher delivered more value than Pedro Martinez ever in the history of baseball. 200-inning basis, Pedro's 5.9 WAR would be the best of any pitcher in history, topping Walter Johnson, Lefty Grove, Roger Clemens, etc.
I am deeply privileged. I've been raised with a lot of privilege. I have great opportunities that I've been presented, and I have overcome a few small things. I am maybe, outside of James, the most fortunate that I happened to be born here when I was, that I was able to see Pedro Martinez at the top of his game and Tom Brady. These two people, I feel so sad for people that don't hear Pedro and don't immediately get a pants tent. Like, the guy was the best pitcher in an era that was by far and away the most offensively based in the history of the sport. What he did at his stature for this team in bringing relevance, the 17 strikeout game against the Yankees when Chili Davis hit the solo home run, was against one of the best offenses in the history of the sport at Yankee Stadium, a tiny place to play. And he Trot Nixon hit a home run. That's the only run they needed, or a two-run home run. They won 2-1, I believe, because Chili Davis had the solo home run. Go back and YouTube it. Just watch. You sound like an idiot saying he's not as important as a DH.
Yeah, but Ortiz, you would admit, transcends a lot of things with the 2013
of course,
and the playoff moments.
But I would say Ortiz is closer to Vinatieri in terms of, we're going to do analogies to, like, you know.
Ty Law always pounds the table. Vinatieri should get more respect, more credit.
But I'm saying, like, the 0-1 Patriots.
What about a Vinatieri statue?
The beginning of the dynasty. I mean, Vinatieri was the most important. You can't argue. If he doesn't make that kick in the snow, you're effed.
Let's go to Rick in New Hampshire. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm a little pissy at Curtis. It's the first sunny Saturday in 13 weeks, and I have to find myself agreeing with you, Ken.
Beautiful.
That is the worst.
Great.
Well, Curtis, all week long, you said this was nothing but a salary dump. And I couldn't disagree with you more. Ken, you said it right. You know, the right option came when when John Henry had to fly out to Kansas City. Now, here's a multi-billionaire. He just paid this guy $300 million. He's asking him to play a position. And Rafi, being a, 27, 28-year-old kid, you know, threw a little temper tantrum, and he didn't get his way. And so Henry, being mad, said, get rid of this guy. I don't want to pay him another dime. I don't blame him. I would do the exact same thing. And then, Curtis, all week long, you talk about honesty of the Red Sox front office and not giving honest answers. And yet, we get Papelbon. We get Pappy. We get Pedro. They give you a little insight into what really happened, and you go off on them.
Rick, less than 3 weeks ago, the Boston Red Sox should just leave DH Devers alone and let him decide if he wants to start playing first base. David Ortiz to the Associated Press, June 2nd.
Yeah, good. But $1 million. I want you to play first base. This is what I'm paying you for.
David Ortiz, Rick, he disagrees with you. He said, less than 3 weeks ago, he said that the Red Sox should just leave designated hitter Devers alone and let him decide when he wants to start playing first base.
Well, obviously, Devers' idea is not putting the team first.
So you have no answer for that.
Yeah, I have to agree with Henry. He just took... Take all my money. I'm not giving this guy $50 million more just to get rid of him. I would do the exact same thing. And you guys are great, but, you know, this beautiful sunny Saturday, and I have to agree with Ken. I mean, rain clouds again.
Sounds perfect to me, Rick. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I mean, I would just say that up until this week, David Ortiz and I agreed.
Wouldn't you admit, though, that the Red Sox have sort of won this PR battle? They've done a pretty good job. I don't know if it's conclusive, but there are a lot of Ricks out there who at least will buy into a baseball trade enough and that if they win, things are fine.
Yeah, I will never...
This will not be the Mookie trade.
Oh, it's... save that,
or the Joe Milton
Jacob.
Trade.
So
the Joe Milton trade.
June 21st, if this team loses 8 of 9 and they can't hit...
I just said if they win.
Well, if they win, if they were winning with Devers. What does that mean?
But
if
they could win and people will still bitch about Mookie.
If they win the World Series, the Mookie thing's over. Done.
Eh.
The Lester thing was forgotten once they won again.
What about the Marchand thing?
Does anybody bring up Lester anymore?
What do you think about the Marchand thing? Real quick. Him, like, tagging teams and, like, the bar antics and are you happy? Are you sad? Do you have any emotion at all?
None. I think he's
removed?
Just, hey, he has the privilege of winning early and then understanding how hard it is to win it again. I wish him, I mean, that's awesome.
Feel good for him?
I mean... God love him. I'm never going to judge a guy based on dumb things made doing while drunk.
Feel bad for Keefe? Feel happy for Keefe?
I feel like Keefe was vindicated.
Okay. Good.
Because this wasn't here because Pasta and him didn't get along. But
they get a first-round pick. I know you're diving into the first-round pick.
Well, there's a guy with a really good Corsi that's coming up.
Well, hey, we're a week away from possibly a Jaylen Brown trade and the Bruins diving into free agency. So... Baseball isn't boring. This time of the year isn't boring.
Can you explain to me why fans say I'm happy that John Henry's saving money? Like, I legitimately, if Devers makes $30 million a year for the next 60 years, he's not earning as much as John Henry is per year. Like, the guy owns the team. He's got money up his, you know what? Like, why would we ever care?
The only reason I care is because they have a tax, an internal, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but they are not going to spend over the luxury tax threshold, right? To a certain extent. Maybe a year they will. So now you have to spend money wisely if you're having an internal cap. So,
why did they give
him
$300 million 2 years ago?
They had to. They forced people on the streets yelling at them outside of the Bruins game, the Winter Classic.
So like, all of these behaviors by Devers were never exhibited before?
You would admit there was a lot this year. As he said in that clip yesterday, he felt he was insulted.
Well, there's a reason Cora wasn't letting him know honestly what was going on, because Devers' behavior had told him he wouldn't like it, right?
Or he was a butcher in third, and they wanted him out.
But like, yeah. It's just, I sit back and it's like, they're not as good of a team. You agree?
They are not.
And
they're worse.
You don't think they're going to be spending a lot of money between now and the deadline on acquisitions, not on current players?
I can't imagine that.
So
there's not many sellers.
Are they cutting ticket prices?
They might. Might have a, you know, Flex Friday. Can we hear from a little bit of Jeff Passan? He had this big... Did you read the whole Passan thing at ESPN yesterday?
I did.
I mean, it is lengthy. Lengthy. He goes... Basically, the big takeaway is he's refuting June Lee. He's going after June Lee's reporting. But he had this nugget. He was on with Arcan last night about Cora and where it went wrong with the Red Sox.
But at the same time, I think Rafael Devers could have done more. And you can argue fairly should have done more, but chose not to. And that to me is where Alex Cora comes into this situation. Like, if there are problems in the clubhouse, that's on the manager to fix them.
Yeah. Certainly.
And Alex Cora was not able to do that here. And because of that, I think everybody wound up getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, if AC can't fix it, maybe we're past the point of no return.
Do you agree? So do you agree with that? Like, do you pass in saying it's Cora's fault in a way? He couldn't fix it. It was beyond his healing powers. So then it's Cora. If you are upset Devers is not here, you kind of blame Cora.
He was the guy behind the pursuit. This is all.
He wanted Bregman from the start.
So, you know, that's where it's somewhat disingenuous for the Gracias post with he and Devers. Like, this has been mismanaged from the beginning. Of all the things I feel like I know now that I didn't know as a fact, Breslow and Cora are not long for one another. I don't know who goes, but I don't think that they are in unison about the roster and about the team.
Yeah, they are about this. Although 413 texter says the poison in the Red Sox clubhouse is driveline. That was the best Breslow answer all year, was his defensive driveline.
But it's just so funny to me that people say Ortiz. I remember on the show I work on during the week, the Greg Hill show, where I said I thought Ortiz was being a puppet for the organization, and Greg and Wigger like, oh, Curtis, oh, you're calling him a liar. Tweet it out. Well, they're calling Ortiz a liar because Ortiz said exactly what I'm saying before he was told to change his mind.
He changed his mind.
God, you're 40 years old. Don't look at everything and take it as face value. Like, the guy literally said that it's up to him, Devers, to decide when and where he plays. And now he's doing photo shoots at Fenway Park saying how bad of a teammate he is.
How about this from Jeff Passan's story? This takeaway about Breslow. Since the cuts, this talking about the cuts, remember they cut 50 scouts and all that? Breslow's circle of trust has been small and his reliance on the team's analytical model heavy. According to sources, leaving some longtime employees embittered, Breslow loyalists fear the consequences of that, with one saying there are definitely turncoats internally plotting against Brez. So there are still people there who are plotting against
him. I thought
he
was doing this to refute June Lee. That's something June Lee reported almost verbatim.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's the question I asked. We should play that coming back. The question I asked Breslow about the June Lee reporting.
Well, that was confirmed, that they fired the guy, the scout that had the Zoom thing on.
And that he had been isolating old people. Right. That was all June Lee.
Okay. Well, Passan supports that.
Does he credit June Lee?
No.
That's kind of weak sauce.
He says June was wrong about the
Let's hear
AI.
Let's hear that question from the morning show.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up. Do you want, who do we want to go here? Western Mass? You love Springfield.
I love Springfield.
Where's Northampton? Where's Rich? Anyway, let's take Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Do you think, Christopher, do you think it was a good idea to get rid of Devers and sell him and trade him?
No, for what they got in return, no.
So, obviously, there's nobody else requesting a trade with the Red Sox for Devers, right? And so now he's got to go to a team like the Giants that is in playoff contention, and they're not going to give up their big leaguers or somebody else when they're in playoff contention. So I'm assuming that Breslow did his job. I think Breslow did a good job getting rid of him. And I don't think there was any other places for him to go. and they offloaded him. And what they got back, they got back. I mean, and he was
Rich, wait, hold on a second. So I would just say this. That their haul, according to multiple reports, would have been far better, and there would have been more teams engaged with Breslow in the potential trade had the Red Sox eaten some of the salary.
And but if he's going to a playoff contention, and if they even ate some of the salary, who are they getting back from a playoff contender? They're not getting rid of players on their team.
So the number one prospect, I'm not going to act like I know anything about it. Their number, according to reports, the number one prospect in the Giants organization was in play if the Red Sox ate some of the salary. You then can take that prospect and use whatever is in your farm system to get a better player with money coming back to you.
Bryce Eldridge.
To help you at the deadline. That's how it works.
And how have the Red Sox done with their prospects so far? They trade them away. They bring them up. They send them down. They're playing multiple positions. The Red Sox haven't handled their prospects well over the last 7 years.
So then why are you trading a known commodity?
I mean, known commodity, yes, Devers is a known commodity, but he was unhappy. He requested a trade back in preseason.
Manny did that all the time, and they just said, okay, we'll see you in a week.
Thank you, Rich. I agree with Curtis here in the sense that I wish they would have kept trying to work it out. Because can you imagine the team with Devers right now? They are four games back of the Yankees, and if you still had Devers, you are cooking.
But it's like, I just laugh at that. It's not some ambiguous line from Ortiz from 2 years ago. It's this month. Yeah. On the very topic.
Well, it's working on me because it is convincing.
And I'll once again state, if you are out there and you said on a beautiful Father's Day Sunday after the Sox swept the Yankees and you were feeling like we have baseball, we have a summer again, that anybody at your cookout said, oh, better get rid of Devers now.
Well, Danny said that. You heard him earlier. He texted me.
No.
Trade Devers.
Anyway, I love that he's shutting the door in some like random cabin on the beach.
All right, do you want Jacob to break down Tibbs, Hicks, and Harrison when we return?
I want to know their war.
Okay, work on it.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye, Jacob. Brez is working at it. Craig Breslow, front office report this week, Tuesday. The Chris Curtis question there. Did you get anything out of that answer?
Yes, that he fired the guy. And that there is indeed,
It's like Breslow's Doge.
I actually compare it a bit. You know, when Greg came over, there were a lot of people here that didn't think it was the right way to take the radio station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of those people weren't here very long after. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there's a chance that that's what's going on here. I would just say that if this is such a no-doubt, no-brainer move, according to you and the fans, why is the front office so fractured by it?
Yeah, but I think this is talking about them being fractured prior to. Right.
Well, it seems like there was a fracture created by the manager bringing in Bregman.
Yes, that's
over
true.
The head of the chief baseball officer, then not being able to do what that officer says is his job, which is manage the ego.
Would you rather have Bregman or Devers if that was the choice? Like if you look back on it and there was no way to fix it, like some texter said, how was Cora going to fix this? I guess the decision to bring in Bregman caused a rift that could not be fixed.
Yeah, I... The next how
I
many
like
years?
Bregman. I mean, right now it's a 1 year deal.
I'm saying if
I would assume they're going to re-sign him now for 3 or 4 years and keep him into his mid-30s. That would be the only way this thing makes sense at all.
You know, I'm going to say I love it, and then in a couple weeks I'm going to say I hate it.
Part of this Jeff Passan piece also before we get out of here, before we get out of here. We're here till noon. Taking calls, though. But Passan says, the discussion around the Devers deal has devolved into falsehoods taking root. There are small ones, like Devers being mad at Campbell for volunteering to play first base. He wasn't mad, multiple sources said. And bigger ones, like the report claiming that a person who interviewed with the Red Sox for a baseball operations job went through 5 rounds of AI-only questions. Other organizations around baseball use the same software. So are you satisfied that that's a non-story?
No. God, no. I absolutely believe that whoever the source was...
Higher View, this company they use, AI questions.
Sounds like Wiggy's startup. but I feel like this was a story because there is a fracture in that front office.
Somebody's squawking.
And they're saying, I'm sure people do this, but not for 5 rounds. It's an embarrassment. What are we here for if we can't actually talk to another human being?
So there will be more firings before this resolves itself.
And the thing is... Not to take my buddy Brez's side, but they're kind of making his point. He's trying to bring in a new way of doing things, and there are those that work for him actively trying to subvert his opportunity to do so.
So you're Team Brez.
I'm not Team Brez. I think he's basically a computer, but I do understand that if you're trying to begin something, you're hired, you have the power, you have the keys of the organization,
yeah,
and you're trying to implement new ways of doing things, and the people that are implementing them are not doing it in spite of you.
You have a lot in common, both Pearl Jam fans.
Yep. And
both analytics guys.
Yep. And both Ben to Newton.
Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey on the phones. Hi, Ryan.
Morning, gents. Ken, I believe you're misreading the Bregman thing, because now teams don't let their players hit free agency. They sign them and extend them, which means when Boris yanks him and puts him in free agency this year, he's going to be the top one or two name on the market. So it's not going to cost you 3 or 4 years. It's going to be like 5-200. And you think John and Linda are going to pay that? I don't think so.
I think they have to now.
The problem when you trade away stars.
How many times have we said? Wait 1 second, Ryan. How many times, Ken, have we said they have to now in the last 5 years?
Well, they did with Devers.
Yeah.
Ken,
do it.
99% of the they have to nows have not been had, not been done.
Almost signed Soto. Good, Ryan.
Anyway, so the Red Sox are, this is one of the most fascinating traits of humans is when they fail upwards and they succeed in spite of themselves. And that's what the Red Sox have been. I feel like even they've won, they are the team of the 21st century. There's no arguing that. I mean, they have the record to back it up. However, they are like just scatterbrained. They have institutional schizophrenia. They do these things like in a bubble. And then they're like, well, let's trade Mookie to save money. Let's see if anybody noticed. Well, they did. Let's goof around with Bogarts and see if he walks. Well, he did. And now the Devers, oh, we'll sign him. We'll sign him. That'll shut everybody up. Well, let's salary dump him and see if anybody notices. Well, they're going to. So here's the thing, though. So there's a time limit. You can do anything in pro sports. Like, Ken, I'm from Pittsburgh. I think I said this to you before. Mike Tomlin's been trying to rebuild his defense for 13 years, and you only get 3 or 4 in the salary cap NFL. You can't do it. So the thing with the Red Sox is the fans have been remarkably patient with the prospects, building up the farm, coming up through the system, but they've sucked for 4 years. There's a they are at the time limit. They can't go backwards. So if they do fall apart this summer, and I know they had this weird game last night where they actually put runs together, I can't figure it out. But if they do, the offense falls off and the pitching starts to collapse and they lose 8 of 9 or whatever and kind of fall back out of it again, who is the scapegoat? Is it Cora or is it Breslow? Because I think Henry wants it to be Cora at this point, or the management, Kennedy, let's face it, I think he's running the team. Kennedy wants it to be Cora at this point. However, Breslow is now the face of salary dump because of the Devers trade. So what are you going to do? I know a bunch of drunken kids show up at Fenway and sing along to Mr. Brightside and drink $28 beers, but that will not continue if they suck for 3 more years. Like they will, the bottom will fall out. So who's going to be the scapegoat if it collapses here again for like the 5th year in a row?
All right, a lot there. Good call, Ryan. Now, that's a lot of ifs, okay?
Maybe Ortiz has schizophrenia.
I don't believe they'll fire Cora or Breslow this year. It will be pitching coach, hitting coach, go through the list, you know. And it'll be
If they end the year with under 80 wins, there's no way both Cora and Breslow are back.
Huge summer, though. Wouldn't you admit that? Whether you agree with me or you, that they would make that move? This is big now. The fan base is on edge. You just traded.
I think the fan base barely was stepping back into the car.
No, people were in. You just swept the Yankees. Crochet every 5th day is awesome.
Want to go into ratings and TV stuff?
Yeah, like, ratings were good.
I'm talking about historically.
Well, no, I'm just saying this year. Like, people were coming back in.
TV ratings,
last Sunday,
not great. And you finally have a weekend where you're back on top of the world. And this is where it's great. The immediate reaction. Is there a way you can go back to Twitter at a certain time?
Yes.
Go check out Twitter at 6 o'clock on Father's Day. Hmm. Everybody's saying, idiot, it's clear why they're doing it, was enraged. Because guess what? Great teams have players like Devers. They work around the idiosyncrasies, the pain in the ass behavior, and they win. Because talent is the number one element, especially in a sport like baseball. It is the most individual team sport in America. And what they have now is guys that are playing well. They've had the biggest reason they've won recently is because their starting pitching has been great.
And the bullpen.
Cora's handled the bullpen masterfully this week.
Chappie.
But if they lose 8-10, it's all over.
That's what I mean, a lot at stake here. We'll continue to discuss until noon. Mego and Scheimer in noon to 3 today. Cooper Boardman returns. Red Sox baseball at 4:05 today across the network.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.